Hello and welcome to Jaw Law. I'm your host, Joe McGregor. Today is Wednesday, March 25th, day whatever of your quarantine. A lot of fun things going on in the wide world of dentistry. And I just want to say before we start today that my heart does go out to you guys. I know we're affected indirectly, but you guys are affected directly. And we can see what it's doing to our clients and to the rest of the world inside of dentistry. Man, our heart goes out to you, and keep heart. I hope that everything returns to normal soon. In the meantime, we do appreciate all the people who have reached out and tons of questions, and I have collected a few of these questions today. The stimulus package just passed, and we're not going to talk about it because it just passed and need to still digest what's going on there. Although that's pretty personal in nature, I don't know that we're even going to cover it. What we are going to cover is really this concept of mandated leave. Now, officially, this law is called the Healthcare Employers and the Families First Coronavirus Response Act. But I'm not going to call it that. I'm just going to call it the Corona Act. Every single day we keep getting questions about this. So I want to offer a few pieces of guidance, but I think it just kind of carrying the theme that these things are changing so fast. And anytime you have a law that is put together basically on the spot, because that's what this is. So kudos to our lawmakers. Whether you agree or disagree with this bill, it took hard work to put it together so fast. The problem with putting together laws so fast is that there are so many things you just can't think of. And unfortunately, that's a recipe for future lawsuits. So, that's just what we're going to deal with. Right now, what we're confronted with is just a barrage of questions from our clients. I'd say like 3/4 of them don't really have an answer. We do have some answers and also some guesses that we think are where things are going to end up. And so what we're going to try to do is just tell you what we know in the interest of being useful. So just generally speaking, what this is trying to do, and it's almost comical because I think the world has just changed so drastically since this got put into effect. It got signed on March 18th. But what it was intended to do was anticipation of a lot of people losing jobs and a lot of employers reacting to the market by laying people off. What it was meant to do was to force employers to keep these people on, at least for a certain period of time. And it's trying to make this as least painful to the employers as possible. I think there's a good argument that it doesn't really accomplish that, but that is what it is. So generally speaking, it's going to prevent employers from letting people go when those people have to basically respond to coronavirus in one way or another. Mostly in either they get coronavirus themselves, because after all, this is essentially an extension or what could be called a complement to FMLA, Family Medical Leave Act, and creating an additional basis under which you cannot fire someone and to provide some additional benefits for those people. It covers a lot more people. FMLA has some exceptions as to who it doesn't cover, and it doesn't cover probably, at least most of it doesn't cover most people in the dental industry. And this is trying to cover as many people as possible. So if you're quarantined or you have to stay home because your school closed, things like that, you're directly affected, then your employer is going to have a hard time letting you go. And if they eventually let you go, they're going to have to keep you on for a certain amount of time. It originally came out that it was to cover companies that have 500 or fewer employees. It does carve out a potential exception for businesses who have fewer than 50 employees. Now, right now, what most of our listeners either don't have an office yet, or if they have an office, they probably don't have 50 employees. So a lot of people are hoping that there is just this blanket exemption for people who have 50 employees or fewer. I'm not as hopeful because if that was what they were going to do, they probably just Congress would have done it in the first place. And so the Secretary of Labor is probably going to interpret that intent to mean it should apply to some small businesses, but not all of them. And that just means we have no idea. First of all, they don't have to exempt anybody. There is a lot of talk and I think a lot of political pressure that they exempt people who have fewer than 50 employees. But we don't know anything about that yet. Now, one of the curious things about this law is that it goes into effect April 1st or 2nd, depending on how you interpret it. The funny thing about it is the Department of Labor is expected to issue further clarifications, further details about this, and to issue forth, you know, who's exempt, who's not, what this means, what that means. They're not going to do that until April, and probably, my guess is mid to late April. So this is going to apply to businesses without them knowing exactly who's covered and exactly what this means to them. Welcome to our government. Now, a couple of questions that we've been getting, and I'm going to start with probably the most important one, is if I let go of all of my employees and tell them to go claim unemployment, and I do that before this bill takes effect, so you know, March 30th, I let go of everybody, does this law apply to me? From the best we can tell is it does not. Now, if you keep your employees till April 7th and you decide, man, I just can't hang on any longer, I need to start firing people, letting people go, it actually does apply. So you're going to have a really critical next couple of days to decide if you want to just pull the trigger now or hold on. One of the other issues that hasn't really been clarified is exactly who is covered. And basically what this said in the law is that we're going to exempt healthcare workers. And honestly, can't really find a good justification for that. I'm trying to see if there's any legislative commentary on it, but they are exempting them. But people who aren't exempt are, you know, nurses in the equivalent. So dentists are exempt. And what this means, or at least what we think this means to a dental office, let's say you are a practice owner and you have an associate dentist and 8 staffers. We think that this law applies to your staffers, so they are going to get these benefits. However, I don't think it applies to your associate dentist. They are not going to be covered. And again, no idea. So those of you who are going to ask, you know, hey, why wouldn't this cover me? I don't know. Not sure yet. But they referenced a regulation that mentions dentists specifically and did not mention people like hygienists, dental assistants, or other staffers. Those people seem to be included under the protection. And ultimately what's happening is they're trying to prolong the time in which an employee is employed in hopes definitely that the economy finds its way back really, really fast. But if not, to shift over that financial burden from the states to the employer. And you are supposedly going to get full credit for it for the tax year. I think the questions that we don't know the answers to yet are exactly how they're going to, I mean, the bill does get detailed into how they're going to give you this credit. There's some limitations on the benefits that these employees get. It's kind of like them getting unemployment, but they're getting it from the employer. And the practice owner is going to get a tax credit in the following year. So I think the first question you have to ask yourself, if I keep people on for this unforeseeable future, then am I even going to be alive next year? And I don't mean that literally. I mean, is your business going to keep going? Is it going to be able to survive this uncertainty to be able to avail yourself of a credit this next year? And there is a math question. If the money you spend on these employees is more than the credit you get, we don't know what happens because you only get to do this to the end of the year. And those are as yet unanswered questions that we expect to get further guidance on, but they're just not there yet. Now, for the other big question that we're getting, how does this law impact those people who exist in states, who practice in states where the governor or even the county in some situations have said you cannot practice dentistry or you can only practice in limited scopes? And unfortunately, we don't have the answer because it doesn't talk about this. What we do think is that probably your employees are covered if the business can't even operate, then almost positively your employees would be covered, because that's kind of the point. The problem, though, is that the law seems to expect that the businesses can withstand the storm and they can continue to operate. It's just they don't want people to just flinch and let a ton of people go. However, if you just can't even produce money, then is that really gonna get covered? This is where I think that the Department of Labor may come in and exempt specific businesses in specific industries, like dentistry, and dentistry and other healthcare. I mean, we here in Texas, even optometrists and veterinarians, other professionals are being told they can't practice either in an effort to conserve PPE. And I think that the Department of Labor has the latitude to be able to say, hey, these people fell under very peculiar and specific circumstances. We want to be able to cover their employees, but they simply can't, so they're exempted from this law. This is just speculation, conjecture. We have no idea if this is really going to happen. But I would like to think that if it's going to happen to anybody, this seems like a good situation. But when the bill was passed March 18th, for the most part, people were still practicing dentistry, or at least able to practice in limited scopes. And now life has changed, and the law doesn't seem to necessarily fit with the realities on the ground. But that's all we've got for you for this Corona Act. I wish we had more answers. There's a lot going on there, but much of it talks about benefits and what triggers the benefit and things like that. For the most part, I think everybody's going to get qualified. I mean, I'm going to have to stretch to figure out who doesn't qualify in terms of employees. We can find one, and it happens to be associate dentists. We don't think they qualify. And we'll keep thinking about that and see if they issue any additional guidance. But this is something we're going to keep our finger on the pulse on and try to update you as promptly and regularly as we can as these things unfold. And we'll try to get more content out there with relating to what people are dealing with. I know that we have plans to bring out some content related to distressed situations. You know, how do I handle my lease? What does bankruptcy look like? Unfortunately, we have to cover that. And just some of these unfortunate topics that we're going to have to start talking about. But I hope everyone out there stays safe, stays healthy, and we'll talk to you next time. Breaking up is hard to do. Don't take your